Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the fiscal year 2015 financial results analyst conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, there'll be a question and answer session. You may ask a question by pressing star 1 on your phone keypad. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 1st February 2016. I'd now like to hand over to Tabriz.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Tabriz 2015 results presentation. With me today is Jassim Thabit, Tabriz CEO, and Steve Ridlington, Tabriz CFO. Please go to slide 3 for your presentation of today's agenda. Jassim will begin by taking you through our headline performance and 2015 highlights before handing over to Steve, who will take you through our financial performance. Jassim will then conclude, and we will then take any questions that you may have. With that, I'll now hand over to Jassim to begin the presentation.
Thank you, Ahmed. So we're on slide 4. I'd like to take this opportunity to recap our achievements in 2015. Our connected capacity now is approaching 1 million tons of cooling, and we've added 35,000 tons of cooling across the GCC in 2015. District cooling is a green technology and is 50% more energy efficient than conventional cooling in using electricity. In 2015, Tabriz operations led to 1.3 billion kilowatt hours reduction in electricity consumption across the GCC and an equivalent elimination of 650,000 tons of CO2 emissions. And as a utility infrastructure company, Tabriz has a track record of delivering consistent results year on year. And 2015 was another successful year for Tabriz, with net profit increasing by 6% to reach 345 million dirhams. The successful repurchase of the MCBs resulted in optimizing our capital structure, savings in cash flows, and helped increase earnings per share by 19% to 11 fils per share. Tabriz has maintained its commitment to providing sustainable returns to shareholders, and based on the strong performance in 2015, the company board of directors will recommend increasing the cash dividend to 6 fils at the upcoming annual general assembly. Now moving to the next slide. Most of you know our story by now. Tabriz aims to be an integral part of the region's growth. After all, that is why our business exists today. It is to provide efficient and environmentally friendly way of providing cooling and enabling future sustainable development. What's unique about Tabriz and what really differentiates us from other district cooling providers is our regional footprint. We aim to bring our energy efficient business to countries throughout the region to support their economic development while generating sustainable long-term returns for our stakeholders. Moving up to slide 6, glance at Tabriz. In 2015, we completed 17 years of operations, starting out with our one plant in Suihan in the middle of the desert in Abu Dhabi in 1998. We've grown to 69 plants in 5 countries and delivering almost 1 million tons of refrigerant cooling to our clients, making us one of the largest district cooling companies. To give you a sense of the scale of that amount of cooling, it's equivalent to cooling 97 Burj Khalifa towers in Dubai. We've highlighted the environmental benefits of Tabriz operations to you in the past. Tabriz's 2015 electricity consumption savings are equivalent to removing 130,000 cars off the street and represents enough energy to power 44,000 homes a year. Today, Tabriz provides cooling to some of the most iconic developments across the GCC. Now moving to the next slide. Tabriz is the only listed DC company in the region and operates across the GCC. In the UAE, Tabriz's base of operations, where we have presence in 6 of the 7 Emirates, providing 690,000 tons of cooling to our customers through our 61 plants. Our presence in the GCC is strong. We have 8 plants in Qatar, Saudi, Bahrain, and Oman, providing almost 284,000 tons of cooling to our customers. Tabreed has demonstrated its ability to deliver a steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by growth in our key markets across the GCC and by successfully leveraging our vast regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves, and to deliver sustainable long-term value for the company and shareholders. Moving to slide number 8, the glance of the 2015 performance. Tabreed has really transformed into a mature, stable utility infrastructure business over the past 4 years. Our continued strategy to focus on our core chilled water business enables us to achieve consistently healthy and sustainable results, as you would expect from a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term, stable, price-certain 25-year contracts. This positive financial performance and stable earnings have allowed us to create value for our shareholders via increased cash dividends and capital structure optimization via the MCV repurchase we did in 2015. I'm pleased to report a steady momentum with net profit increasing, as I said, by 6% over 2014 results, reaching to 345 million dirhams. Based on the stable foundations of our core chilled water business. Furthermore, earnings per share have grown by 19% to 11 fils per share after the successful MCB repurchase. The company's focus on core chilled water business and the results demonstrate that the evolution into a utility infrastructure business is complete, with the benefits of stable earnings and higher margins. We have continuously highlighted the quality, stability, and consistency of our earnings guaranteed by the long-term, stable, price-certain contracts. In December 2015, over 50% of our contracts were with government entities. In summary, the Tabreed of today is a stable utility infrastructure business with strong and steady cash flows, predictable earnings, and delivering growth. Now, Steve will take us through the 2015 results in more detail.
Thank you, Yassim, and good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be with you again today. I'm going to turn to slide 10. This just gives us a picture of our business model. It re-emphasizes the utility business model that we have and the predictability and stability of the earnings it brings. As you know, our cooling bills have two key components, a fixed monthly capacity charge and a variable consumption charge that reflects cooling consumed by the consumer. The capacity charge is designed to provide a return on capital. It covers the investment in our plant and network assets, the cost of capital, and fixed costs. The charge generally increases in line with the CPI to cover the cost inflation. The consumption charge is structured to be a pass-through of our variable costs of providing cooling. Our consumption revenue rises and falls with consumption of cooling, and it also changes as and when our main operating costs, such as the cost of power or water, change. As the charts on this slide show, the capacity charge makes up around 65% of our revenue and 92% of our chilled water EBITDA. The tariff structure drives the stability and predictability of our financial results. Turning to slide 11, the income statement. Let me just give you a highlight of a few of the key points here. As Jasmine has already mentioned, net income is up 6% on 2014, driven mainly by strong chilled water results and continuing good performance by our regional associates. Chilled water revenues increased by 7%, which in turn reflects new connections, higher chilled water volumes, and pass-through of electricity cost increases in Abu Dhabi in January 2015. Our associates and joint ventures continue to do well, and their contribution increased by 13 million dirhams compared to 2014, led by Qatar Cool, where construction of a third plant on West Bay is ongoing, and also by the performance of Saudi Tabreed. The chart of this table shows that net finance costs have increased by 7 million dirhams over 2014, with the additional debt raised to finance the buyback, adding 18 million to financing costs, partly offset by the savings made as a result of the debt refinancing that we completed in December 2014. Overall, we are showing a healthy and generally steady profit and EBITDA margins approaching 50%. Slide 12 gives us an overview of the statement's financial position. Comparing with 2014, the main variations are explained by the bond repurchase and the payment of a five-fill dividend in April. The key points are fixed assets, first of all, increased due to the continued development on a number of projects, including Dubai Parks and Resorts. We have recently announced signing a long-term project financing deal for the project, which will allow us to recover a portion of our equity invested already made in the project. The MCB repurchase has resulted in a reduction of liability and equity components of the MCBs to be replaced by new debt. Tabreed paid a five-fils dividend for the third consecutive year in April 2015. This year, the dividend was paid in cash to both ordinary shareholders and MCB holder, increasing the payout from 33 million to 173 million dirham. We have recorded our investment in value chain subsidiary and a plot of land in Oman as held for sale, as we are in discussions with parties for a potential sale of these in the coming year. In summary, Tabreed's strong reverse balance sheet positions us well for future growth. Turning to slide 13, the cash flow statement. Net cash flow from operations for 2015 were 605 million dirham, 10% higher than 2014, mainly reflecting improvements in performance and improvements in working capital position. The change in working capital position has been brought about by timely collections with a consequent reduction in days sales outstanding. Capital expenditure for 2015 was 278 million dirham due to investment in new projects. We are currently constructing over 100,000 tons of new plant capacity for contracted customers in the UAE and Oman. Turning to the next slide, we'll take a quick look at our core chilled water business. Slide 14. As Jassim has already mentioned, and you can see in the top left, our gross capacity has shown a healthy 8% annual growth since 2012. 71% of our gross capacity is located in the UAE, while two-thirds of it is consolidated. Our top-line revenues have grown by an average of 3% since 2012, primarily through the growth of our core chilled water business. Chilled water gross profit has also shown steady growth. Outside of the UAE, Qatar is still our largest and most profitable investment, contributing 47 million dirhams of net income in 2015. However, we are now starting to see the benefits of new connections made by Tabreed Saudi, which contributed 28 million dirham for the period. We see significant long-term growth prospects for our businesses in the rest of the GCC. As you know, the size of the GCC market, combined with population growth, drives real estate development in high-density areas. As district cooling is much more power efficient than other forms of cooling, we see continuing opportunities in these markets. In summary, the utility nature of our business, characterized by long-term price certain offtake contracts for a rising level of contracted capacity, has resulted in steady growth of revenues and earnings. Turning to slide 15, we'll take a look at our debt portfolio. We've been including this chart in the presentation for several quarters now, and it hasn't changed much since we last presented it in October, so I'll highlight only a few key points. Following the MCB repurchase, Tabreed has 3 billion dirham of debt, which equates to a gearing ratio of 43%, approaching global utility benchmarks. The debt is floating rate, though just over half of this is hedged into fixed rates. The average life of the debt is over 5 years, with 64% of the debt maturing in 2021. Let me now pass back to Jassim to conclude.
Thank you, Steve. We're on slide 17 now. Tabreed has reached multiple commercial, operational, and financing milestones in the last 18 months. I want to reemphasize the successful year we had in 15, and also the following key achievements for the past year and a half. In June 2014, we signed a contract with the UAE Armed Forces valued at 6 billion dirhams. Also in 2014, we announced a 1 billion dirham acquisition for a 30-year concession of the Almeria cooling plant on Almeria Island with partnership with MIP. In September 2014, we signed a concession agreement with Mirast to provide 45,000 tons of cooling to the Dubai parks and resorts. Also, we successfully refinanced our existing debt facilities at the end of 2014, which give us more flexibility and improved margins and longer tenor. In addition, we renewed our partnership with Al Dahr early in 15 for another 30 years and having a clear framework for future connections. Also in 2015, also had the third consecutive year of cash dividends being paid out. And towards mid of 2015, we successfully completed the MCB repurchase of 28% of the bonds, improving cash flows for the company and increasing EPS. And then finally, we have recently announced securing long-term project financing for our Dubai Parks and Resorts project with Emirates EMBD. So moving to slide 18 to wrap things up, we've had a strong 2015 with the connections approaching a million tons of cooling, net profit reaching 345 million dirhams, and a 20% increase in dividend payout. Tabreed is well positioned for growth and is optimistic about the future. Governments and private entities across the GCC continue to see the energy and environmental benefits of deploying district cooling technologies for their major infrastructure projects. This increased appreciation of the advantages of district cooling over the conventional cooling is creating new growth opportunities and has helped our Qatari affiliate Qatar Cool win a contract to provide district cooling services to the upcoming Qatar Rail project in Doha. We believe that the region's outlook is positive and the GCC governments continue to invest in the national infrastructure. This will drive significant demand for Tabreed services. Tabreed has the financial strength and operational expertise to take advantage of these growth opportunities. So that concludes our presentation today, and we'll now open the line for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That is star one to ask a question. If you find your question has been answered or you wish to retract your question, you may do so by pressing the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Alia El Mahelmi from CI Capital. Please ask your question.
Thank you. I just was wondering if two questions actually on the fact that you are constructing over 100,000 tons of capacity. First of all, can you give guidance of how much of that is UAE versus Qatar and Oman? So that would be my first question on that.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned we have approximately 100,000 tons under construction now, and I would say that the majority is within the UAE.
Okay. And I just want to confirm that's the case. I recall it's the case, but you do not provide guidance on how much capacity addition you're expecting for 2016, right? I mean, you would just disclose these because they're signed contracts.
Yes, that's correct. We are, in general, we don't give any forward-looking numbers. We've given that out because they've been announced already and they're under construction.
Okay. And just to confirm, because the presentation doesn't explicitly state the timeline, I just want to make sure I heard correctly. The assets held for sale, the exit timeline on that is 2016?
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to close as soon as possible, but we'll announce once they're executed.
Sure. Then my last question is on page 18, and I've also seen several articles about this, your agreement with Qatarail. This is starting 2019. Is there any figures that you could quantify what this could mean for Tabriz?
Yeah, so it's supplying chilled water by 2019 to seven of their stations. And in terms of trying to quantify it for you, it's approximately 8,000 tons of cooling.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Kasim Bilbazi from Capital Investments. Please ask your question.
Yes. Hello. Thanks for the call. I have three questions, actually. First one about... since you have a large percentage of your contracts with the government, are you expecting or are you experiencing or expecting to experience any delays in payments that may affect your working capital?
Can you just finish your questions and then we'll answer them all together?
Yeah. The three questions. All right. That's the first question. Second question, about the terms of the hedges you have on the interest rates. Can you tell us anything about the rates that you have and the maturity of these hedges? Third question about Jabal Omar. We've been hearing some talks about how they are having difficulties paying their loans. What's your outlook on that? And one final question about, can give us a number about the maintenance capex, annual maintenance capex. That's it from me.
All right. So on your first questions was any delays in payments from government entities? As majority of our customers are with our customers are government entities. We've had no issues whatsoever. In fact, as Steve mentioned, our days of sales outstanding have improved in 15 compared to the previous years. So there's no issues with that. Moving on to your second question on the hedges.
Yes.
It's just over in terms of rates, just over 2%, and up to mid 2018 we're looking at. On Jabal Omar development, we're not aware of any issues impacting us. It's business as normal on the ground. And in terms of executing the projects and so forth, and maintenance capex, that is very minimal in our accounts.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Sanyalak Manibahandu from the National Bank of Abu Dhabi. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Yes. I have really two questions. Could you basically say whether the 100,000 additional capacity is going to be consolidated? And I hear that you are saying that most of that is in the UAE, but is that consolidated or with associates? That's the first question. The second question is, I'm a bit confused about your assets for sale. Are you going to sell two different assets, one relating to... value chain business and the other to a plot of land, or are the other two the same for the same asset, the same company?
Yeah, thanks for the question. In terms of the tons we're adding, as Jasmine said, the majority of that is in the UAE and that will be consolidated. The other part will not be. So that's the best way to think about that for now. In terms of the asset sale, just to be clear, it is two assets. One is a plot of land in Oman, and the second is a value chain business. They're not related. They're separate businesses. And we are, as we said, we're looking to dispose of those this year.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Jagdish Bhatia from Lazard Asset Management. Please ask your question.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had a couple of questions. My first question would be with regards to the interest rates. Recently we are listening, we are hearing interest rates moving. So is the contract structured so as to pass on this additional cost onto the client, or would the company absorb if there is any increase in costs? That's one. Secondly, if at all there is any delay in terms of your in terms of projects by Aldar, would there be any an arrangement just like you have with Dubai Parks, whereby you have a set date and beyond that any delays on them and you continue to get your payments due?
Okay, on loan and interest rates, no, we don't pass on our debt interest rates increases to our customers. And on your second question, if Aldar has the same arrangement as Dubai Parks with the take or pay structure, Aldar is a paying is an existing paying customer, and majority of Aldar's online and they're paying. There's no issues. And for future connections with Aldar, it'll be a take or pay too, like all our contracts.
Fair enough, but what I'm saying is, suppose Aldar tomorrow decides on a community, and just like in the case of Dubai Parks where you had a set date, you would actually go ahead and construct your project. But if tomorrow there's a delay from Aldar's side, would that mean you would continue to be paid as per the schedule, or would that delay payments in your case as well?
No, I mean, the Aldar agreement sets aside a framework for future connections, and the future connections for Tabreed to go out and build plants will have against them a take or pay date.
Fair enough. Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Thibaut Bocco from Arcam. Please ask your question.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a question regarding the regulatory changes, specifically increasing in electricity prices across the GCC. Supposedly, this is relatively beneficial for you as your technology saves electricity costs for the customers. So if you just give us your view on sort of how much do you already see electricity prices going up? How exactly do you pass it to the customers, and whether that relative cost benefit of district cooling versus the conventional has been improving, and how much further we can go. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your question. So I'll try to answer in parts. So the first part you asked is how do we influence the power and water increases in tariff across the UAE in the region. We have no control whatsoever what utility providers, the power and water utility providers charge customers or charge us. What I can say is, I mean, Steve had a slide in the presentation where he explained the capacity and the consumption component. And in our consumption component, that is where we charge for all power and water costs. And all our contracts are very clear, and there's ability to pass on increases in power and water and for CPI too. And how much, you asked me how much do I think that power and water will go up? We don't know. It depends on the regulations and how much they want to increase it. But I do want to say, I mean, when you compare conventional cooling with district cooling is much more efficient. So it does make a bit, like you said, makes a better case, and it makes more sense for end users to hook up and benefit from the benefits of district cooling.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Karim Abbas from Franklin Templeton. Please ask your question.
Hi, everyone. My main question is on the dividends and a bit of a question on the shareholding. So my understanding is that this year, like last year, the dividends will be paid in cash and no additional shares will be issued to certain shareholders. So in that light, really, it's a bit of a historical question, as in, given the situation we have now where a minority shareholder controls the majority of the board because of their future shareholding given the convertibles, what comfort can you give the current majority shareholders, which will become minority shareholders, that no additional shares can be or will be issued in terms of annual dividends or special dividends or whatnot? Thanks.
Thanks for your question, Karen. First of all, just to confirm that the dividend will be paid fully in cash, assuming the shareholders accept it, of course, at the upcoming AGA. We can't sit here and give you guarantees about whether there will be new shares issued in lieu of dividends or not. That'll be a decision that we need to take at the time with the board in the light of our performance at the time and in discussion with shareholders. All I think we can tell you today is that we are committing to a cash dividend this year. We think it's a sustainable dividend. It's been taken in the light of our cash flows, and you'd expect the board to have looked long and hard at our balance sheet and cash flows going forward to make sure that was sustainable. And so that's what we're recommending to our shareholders for this year.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I guess that's as much as you can answer as management, but if you can put that question to the board and just explain that as investors looking in, there is a bit of conflict in the way the shareholding and the board structure are set up for the medium term until things convert. So that's always going to be a question mark for shareholders, I guess, and perhaps they'd want to address that at some point.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I think it's a fair point, and the board always makes sure that the interests of all shareholders are taken into account, and we'll continue to do that. So thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Salman Siddiqui from Shua Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi, everyone. Congratulations on the excellent set of results. I just wanted to ask what your thoughts are on maybe a possible repurchase on the MCB in 2016 as well. Thank you.
Thanks. I think at this stage we'd have to say the possibility of that is remote. As we look at our balance sheet and our cash flows for this year, I think we're comfortable with the level of leverage that we have in the company. We're very comfortable with the dividends that's been recommended to shareholders. I think in the absence of something very unforeseen happening, it's going to be very difficult for us to consider that this year. But we keep it under review, and we will do so, keep going forward. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Philip Conan from Arkham Capital. Please ask your question.
Yes, thank you again for the presentation. My question is, do we expect the Q4 numbers going forward for the value chain business? And continuing on that, the revenues, do you expect them to be booked in Q1 2016? Because like you already declared the amount that's going to be sold in Q3 2015. So do you expect the sale to occur in Q1 or after that? Thank you.
So I mean, again, on the divest, the sale of assets that we have in our accounts. Again, we're not saying it's a Q1, we're not saying it's a Q2 event. What we are saying is that it will take place in 2016, and we'll announce it when it's executed. Your first part of your question was
whether the results were already excluding that
business. Yes. Yeah. So the results, yes. So the results exclude revenues from those two operations.
Okay. So we expect the same numbers going forward for
Correct.
The value chain business.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
No further questions at this time.
Thank you all again for joining us today. Should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact Faisal or myself. Our contact details are on the last slide of the presentation. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, this concludes the conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect.